you like went into a different character the minute you knew we were recording.
Oh, okay, got you, got you.
Can all you feel that?
Yeah, yeah, I feel it. All right. I honestly don't. It got kind of formal. You were fucking formal.
Was that right, formal too? Did I do that?
Kind of formal. You're kind of formal.
Let's just not do that.
Let's just do it how we're supposed to.
Well, let me ask you a question. Yes. What is the benefit of formal? Why do people do that?
Well, to be honest, when we're formal because of, I think we're acknowledging others. So like we know there's other people in front of us and we're supposed to feel a certain way and do certain things based on what we were taught up to do. So basically like formal to me is I cannot be myself. I have to watch what I say and kind of like act in a certain way.
You have to play a role.
Correct.
A character.
Exactly.
But that's not authentic.
No, it's not.
Isn't it weird though in cultures, you're supposed to be formal with someone in a certain setting, a business setting or something, when both parties know this isn't really you. You're playing a character or a role.
Yeah, for sure. But honestly, like in my business, in like the mortgage industry, you're kind of reading, you're dealing with like borrowers and brokers, right? And you're obviously trying to get them, you're trying to get them a loan. So in the beginning, you're kind of reading them. You're like, is this guy like, it's easier to just be yourself and just be like, hey, look, these are the items I need. Give me the things I need now. But then you don't really know the person when they first call in. So you're just kind of reading them to see. So I think the best way to start about it is to be formal. And then as you get to know the person, then you can just be yourself. That's just how I do it, you know, when I'm riding alone, but everyone's different. I don't know. Honestly, today though, I'm not even going to. Right here. Oh, gotcha. Like right here.
And we'll keep this in. This is actually good. Because it's here's my belief. I hear you.
Yeah.
I think I just want to be authentic from the jump.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they know who I am and who I'm not.
Yeah.
Because if I'm formal, because like let's say we go with your model. Let's play through it. Uh-huh. So I'm formal with you because I want to feel you out. Are you really legit or not? And maybe we'll get informal later. But you are going to like a fake version of me. And so later on, when you find out I'm not really that way, I'm this way. If we don't get along later, it's like we wasted all this time up front. Whereas if I can show you who I am right off the jump, then I don't have to.
So
I know right away.
So like every politician. So how are, I want to really know, like, for example, I've been watching this like, a stupid TV on FX. I actually just started watching yesterday. It's about Monica Lewinsky, right? And
it's, what did she do? What is she famous for?
She sucked what's his name's dick. So
who?
Bill Clinton's dick.
How many times do you think she blew him?
I think from what I was told, a couple times. And then they also had sex.
Just a couple times?
Just a couple. But what I was trying to get to
Wait. Do you know?
How many times she blew?
Yeah, is that published?
I don't know if it's public record.
Can someone search that? I'm just like, because you assume in the White House, they keep records on everything.
Whoa, so didn't they have sex and then they sold it? Anyways, aside from all that, what was I trying to get to?
You're watching this show.
Yes, I was watching this show, right? And it's interesting because like everyone else on that show, they see Bill Clinton. He's somewhat of a player, right? But then like at the same time, they like him because he's a likable dude, right? But then Monica Lewinsky, she knows more about him. He's like a player. She knows that he's cheating on his wife. Mm-hmm. She likes him because he's kind of like, you know, he's out there. He's a go-getter and he knows what he wants and he wants to get in her panties. So
there's no answer, but
yeah,
they had a relationship between March or November 1995 and March 1997.
So
they fucked for something. Sure.
Well, a year and a half.
If
he risked the presidency
for
one blowjob every 9 months,
uh-huh,
he shouldn't be our president.
Oh, for sure.
I want someone who's got more efficiency here.
For sure. But okay, so let's go back.
Do you
value
that in a president?
No, let's just go all the way back.
Okay.
When I'm talking about being formal, obviously you and I have known each other for a long time. So there's no point of being formal because you already know who I am and I know who you are. Mm-hmm. But to be formal with like borrowers and clients, you're right. Like it's cool to be yourself. I agree. But then at the same time, I kind of want to get a sense of, are they going to be offended by certain things? Because there's a lot of money in the line. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. So like, My whole thing is what I said, yeah. but always within a context of I respect you.
Of course.
And that to me, like for guys, mm-hmm. there is no trigger that will send them negative faster than feeling yeah. disrespected. I'm sure with women it's similar. It might be something else. I'd have to think about it, but
yeah.
it's respect. As long as a guy feels heard and respected, he's usually going to be like, cool.
Can I stop you right there? I also work at the nightlife, right? And it's completely different. Maybe because I've been doing it for a long time, but like booking tables is kind of like an art, right? So like,
so let's back up here for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
For anyone watching who doesn't know,
yeah.
so you hold two careers, right?
Correct.
Now. Career number one is?
Career number one. So let's just start with the oldest one. I've been in the nightlife industry for a long time. So I pretty much run the front door at the establishment that I work at. And I don't want to say where, because just in case something comes out, you know, there's just a lot of people I don't like in their place. So let's just keep that name.
It's a good time not to talk about that right now. Like so, this time would be weird. Maybe so let's another
just,
time.
Let's just say, so I've worked in the nightlife industry for a long time. I think ever since college and now. And it's just like, I've gotten so good at it. And it's almost like I go in there and it's second nature. You ever done a job that you're so prepared for and then you're just like, doesn't feel like a job. And you just get in there, you do it and you leave. And it's just like, kind of like a part of you. It's hard to get, you know, it's hard not to do that job because I'm good at it. So mm-hmm. that's one job. The second job I got because of the nightlife, and that's I'm a loan officer for a company, and it's essentially the same thing because you're dealing with people, which is mm-hmm. what I do, booking tables, but it's different, right? Because we're dealing with more money mm-hmm. Per se. I mean, you'll get a few clients that are in the nightlife industry that spend a mortgage every once in a while, but that's just, you know, that's a different story. But
do you remember how we first met?
Yeah, I mean, bits and pieces because I smoke a lot, but I do remember.
Speaking of,
I do remember one time we met at Sutra, and
that's not how.
Okay, no, we did. We actually did meet at Sutra, dude. If you remember, you had a ton of. So you had that one table behind the DJ booth. I think there was like, was there two tables? I don't remember. There was this one table that you always had, and you went through our friend Ricky Rick. And that was like your guy, right? Mm-hmm. So you booked tables through him, and you always came with like all these chicks. And it was only like you and other, and it was probably you and another guy every once in a while. But yeah, it was just you two. So I would always see you. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, who the fuck does he think he is? Yeah, yeah, the Fohawk. Yeah, the whole outfit.
I had it anyway, down.
Yeah, you did. You did. You were doing your thing.
Down. I had it down.
You were doing your thing, but you always came with girls because obviously you knew the benefits of having women in the club, right? Like,
sure.
If you want a good spot, you got to pay for it. Not only that, you don't want a good spot with a bunch of dudes. It's like a waste of that spot. And by spot, I mean like tables, you know, like it's real estate in the club. It's basically real estate.
Here's what I remember. Cause I remember you telling me that story, and yeah. I remember you telling me that you came up to me and it was like, here, have a drink. It's my birthday.
I offered you a bottle. It was my birthday and I offered you a bottle. And then you were like, nah, man, I'm good. I have my own. And I was like, who the fuck does this guy think he is? Anyways.
Sorry, man.
So I don't know. Maybe it was like my ego went down a little bit. But like, because I had a high ego.
Here's what I remember the first time we met. Because that I don't totally remember.
Correct.
The time I remember is there was a day party at a club here in Orange County called 10, right? Or it used to be 10. And it was a day party. I was with Natalie and Ricky and a few other girls. And we were at a table.
Uh-huh.
And you were promoting. So you were like walking around.
This is before?
This was, I think, like 6 months after. I'll tell you.
Oh, after.
And then you came up to me uh-huh. and we just started talking and we clicked right away.
Uh-huh.
And then the day party ended. And I was like, yo, we're like, let's come back to the house and we'll keep drinking. So you came back with me and Natalie to a house in Newport Coast.
Yeah, that was a nice.
We drank for a little bit and then we didn't want to stop. And it was Sunday. And you were like, well, we could go to like Sharky's or like Junkies.
Oh, God.
I was like, I just moved to Orange County. What Jesus are these places? Christ. And Brian was like, oh, they're the best. You got to go.
No, I never. Well, probably.
You said they're the best.
I was younger.
Your church. You said it's your church. Yeah, so yeah, I went. So we went.
I had just moved out here, by the way.
And we walked in.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this place? We had like a drink or two.
Correct.
And then we just bounced because I was like,
this is stupid. Terrible.
But then it's like 7 p.m. and we go in the parking lot right there. And there's like a Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
And we look inside and there's two people fucking in the Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, that's typical like junkies.
Yeah.
And then next to the car, next to the tire was a bag.
Yeah.
And Bryant was like, I need to see what's in this bag. So he unzips it, needles. Just a bag and needles.
Correct.
And your first thought was, we need to steal the bag. So you picked up the bag and we ran off, went around the corner, and then we were like, why do we have a bag of needles? I don't know. And we left it and we just walked
over. And we just bounced. Yeah. Back then, I mean, you were still making a ton of money and I was still trying to figure it out. But then I also just moved down here from like Florida, right? So getting to know new people and stuff, it was cool. But then I was kind of lost, dude. We partied a lot. You were more disciplined during the week, but I just kept going every day.
We partied a lot in the weekends. Yeah. One thing I think is interesting is that, so a lot of the people who follow me, my main core demographic is like guys 18 to 30. Correct. That's like, we have older people, but that is the core. Mm-hmm. And something they all struggle with a lot is social anxiety and talking to people, and they're just very shy. They don't want to go out. They're so used to being on their phone.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, you could talk to anyone at any time without knowing them
and be super
comfortable.
It's weird.
Why do you think that is?
Well, to start, I have six brothers and sisters. So I think the sibling thing, I was never alone. One thing I do struggle with is being alone. It's like, I live with my brother and we should have parted ways and should have lived with myself a long time ago, right? Because I am dating, but it's like hard for me to like be home and be alone. I don't know. It's just, I get anxiety.
You don't like being alone.
I hate it. I can't do it. I cannot do it.
It's painful.
It sucks. So although I can talk to anyone, I literally talk to like cashiers at like Trader Joe's.
So that's like, you're actually in pain when you're alone.
I hate it.
And so you want to talk to people to not feel in pain.
So I don't know what that is. It's the social anxiety I don't have. I the fear of being lost or alone is the biggest thing for sure.
Fascinating.
It's crazy, man. It is.
I don't want to think about it too hard, but I think it's interesting. And they like, it's one of the biggest issues, and it kind of scares me because it's like, if this is the younger generation and they're not good at talking to people and they're afraid of talking to people and this gives them anxiety and so on, what is the future going to look like? So one thing that was, I spent last week for 4 days with a coach. So I went to his house one-on-one for 4 days and it was very intense. It was fucking, his name is Brent. He's amazing. But one of the things he mentioned, he was a coach/therapist in Silicon Valley in San Francisco for a long time, especially during the internet boom and when Facebook and Twitter and these things are like starting.
Yeah.
And this was his words, but he was like, when is the world going to figure out that all of these social networks were built by lonely guys who are slightly autistic and they're like controlling the social networks of the world now? His from a therapist perspective, his perspective is, they had triggering when they were children that made them basically not like people. And they realized they couldn't win the real social game of like real people and things.
Yeah.
So they built a whole nother world and they're just fucking crushing it now. It's just, I don't know if I'm expressing that right, but it was a really interesting remark.
Well, it's crazy that we talk about this because literally this morning, I always wake up and the first thing that I put on when I'm like getting ready to go to work is either the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. They have like these like 30-minute, I don't know what it is. It's like a 30-minute podcast, right? Talking about like issues of the day, current issues of the day. And then one thing that they talked about, which is a two-part series, is Facebook papers. So I guess they found some papers from Facebook. They found some documents from Facebook and they were doing research on social anxiety, which is crazy, right? So I guess one of the biggest things with them is like they've been dealing with a lot of suicides with kids. So they were trying to figure out, they had all these like, they set up all these, what do you call them? Like group studies and like sessions just to, and they would ask questions like, when you are all alone, looking at Facebook, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel like you want to be better? Does looking at certain profiles make you feel bad about yourself? Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys felt good waking up and looking at their Facebook and their Instagram, but a lot of the women felt really, really shitty when they would look at an IG post of a girl, you know, in like the Maldives looking sexy. It would motivate them for like 30 seconds while they're looking at it. And then as soon as they put it down and they looked themselves in the mirror, they hated themselves. And it's crazy that I bring that up because I think a lot of people believe and think that what's online, you know, with all these influencers is something they can obtain, which they probably could, right? A lot of this shit is like,
it's real.
It's not real, dude.
It's not even like, it's not, it's genuinely, it's not real.
Now, one thing though, all the things I post are real.
But it's
side note.
But it is genuinely not real. It's dude. It's a drug, and a lot of people can't handle it. One of the things Brent said I thought was really smart. He goes, I think what they should do is when you log into Instagram, right before you log into the app, a thing should pop up, and it should be a warning logo like there is on a cigarette box that says what you're about to use is highly addictive. Are you sure you want to? Just something like that would probably make a difference, because in the 1940s, canned food came out. When canned food came out, it was the greatest thing ever. Everyone was like, holy shit, we can ship food. It can stay good for a while. Like, this is incredible.
Perishables.
And they ate it, and they ate it, and they ate it. And then in like the 70s and the 80s, 30 or 40 years later, someone was like, wait, what's in the fucking cans? Let's take a look. And they go through it, and they're like, this shit is super toxic. It gives all these people Alzheimer's. Like, this is really bad.
But what was in it? It was it was on the lid, right?
There's different stuff. Yeah. I've heard of BPA. There's other – but there's – like, you should probably not be eating canned food.
Correct.
But they didn't know that for 30, 40 years until someone asked. And so now we're all using our phones all the time last 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. When is someone – like, people are starting to, but when are we going to realize or try and figure out what is this actually doing to our brains? Because people are – the world's gone crazy, dude.
But the crazy thing is, like, all these studies, they were just surfaced not too long ago. It was just like, it's always someone within the company that wants to change something, right? So these studies have been going on for a long time. Facebook knows, and Instagram, they know that they're making they're getting kids addicted, and they know these addictions are leading to problems like suicide, right? So, and I've been a victim of it, dude. I have a desk job, right? But I can work remote. It doesn't matter. I can't work from home because there's too many vices for me. So I go in the office. I work out of a WeWork, free kombucha. It's open 24/7.
Free kombucha.
That's another story we're going to talk about later, but WeWorks are dope. But anyways, I go in there, I sit, and like sometimes I'm having a shitty day, and then I'll just look, and one of my boys are like, you, anyone, right? They're like in fucking, I don't know, Puerto Rico, for example. And I'm like, damn. The good thing about me, I make decent amount of money, and now I can afford just to like book a flight and bounce if I feel that way. But what about the kids that can't, right? The ones that feel like shit and they don't really have a solution because they're lost. And I don't know. I think about all this shit sometimes, and I'm like, maybe I should worry about myself sometimes, but it's just things that I think of.
That I'm glad you said that, because you were like, I listened to this New York Times thing, or I listened to this Washington Journal or whatever journal. Why?
Why do you do it? To be honest with you, I'm just bored, and I like being kind of aware of what's going on. It's pretty cool.
But think about this.
Don't forget, I do like talking to people, right? So that my number one thing is to go and talk to random strangers. So sometimes when I'm talking to someone random and I remember that I listened to someone, it's just that I have like fuel, right?
So
I can reference that. Sure. I can talk to them. And then I get something out of it. I get satisfied, or I don't even know.
Here's the thing, bro, is no matter what source, let's say you're getting media from, it's filtered.
Of course, 100%.
It's the way I pour like beans in a filter and certain, like there's, so what you're getting in those 30 minutes is a fraction of everything that has happened or could be happening. So you're relying on someone to curate for you. Correct. But what they're really doing is they are censoring certain things, and they are promoting certain things, which shape people's ideas, because if all you see is this, you don't know there's all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You won't take that into account in your worldview. I say all this because I'm not knocking the media. I don't look at it. I'm not aware of it. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, dude, for sure. Since I've known you,
is so much better.
You never really cared about, there's issues we can't control right now, like COVID, and you and I both have similar beliefs.
Did you have COVID? You ever gotten it?
No, I actually never did.
Didn't you think you got it like before?
Honestly, it was probably because of the media, and like, it's probably because of everyone telling me I had it that I felt like I had it, dude. But I don't know. It's just this fear mongering, right? Where everyone's like, oh, you're going to lose your taste. You can't smell. Like I was feeling like I couldn't taste, but it was just the shitty food that my girl made. Love you, baby.
Hi, Sasha.
Anyways.
I think it was the first week of March.
Yeah.
When lockdowns first happened.
Tokyo.
But you, I feel like 2 or 3 months before that, were like super sick with the flu.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. And that, I was, So reference, I was at the club and I was talking, I was sick as shit, but I went to, it was a Thursday and I was just, like I said, bored at home, sick. I should have stayed home and recovered, but I went out. Anyways, I ran into my friend. It was January, by the way, or December. No, it was December. Yeah. I ran into my girl's friend at Mesa, which is a lounge on, that pops off on Thursdays. And she was just getting through like this gnarly cold that lasted for like 3 weeks in December, like late November, early December. And she was like, yeah, Brian, like I still can't get rid of this cough. I was like super sick. Right then and there, I was also sick. And I was telling her, yeah, like, I feel like I maybe lost my taste. I don't know. We didn't know anything about Corona. Next thing you know, January, whatever, or February, whenever this shit happened, like things were closing down and it got serious. Wu-Tang, or what is it? Wuhan or Wu-Tang?
Wu-Tang virus?
Sounds so much better. The Wu-Tang virus. Anyways.
That's amazing.
So yeah, we started hearing things. We started hearing this news about this virus, and then, yeah, I probably did have it, to be honest.
You may have. But you, yeah. So when lockdowns happened, there was a variety of responses people had. Yeah. Some people are like, we need this. We need to be safe. Other people are like, this is overreach. This is ridiculous. We're a free country. This is absurd. Your response was to go to Japan.
Yeah, no, I just, dude, it was a perfect opportunity. There's no work. Remember, I was still working. I never take off on the weekends. It's like hard for me because I just have so many responsibilities at the club. And it's like hard to like relinquish those responsibilities with someone that I don't really trust. And then because like have to hear about it in the meetings and shit.
But like,
let's just go backwards.
No, just walk me through it.
Okay. So,
so the country's getting locked down and you go, I need to go to Tokyo.
I'm like, dude, this is the perfect time to go to Tokyo.
That was your thought.
Swear to God. I was like, I want to see the blossoms or whatever, the cherry blossoms.
Which are beautiful.
And I honestly, my girlfriend's from Japan. So I had her ask her dad to see, because he lives there. I had her ask her dad to see if like things were open, right? And he was like, yeah, we're completely 100% open. And if it wasn't that, I was going to go to Europe because Europe was still open per se. So I was just like, all right, I'll just pick one. And I've always wanted to go to Japan. Me and you have different thoughts of Japan. I loved Osaka. I didn't like Tokyo, but anyways, we went to Japan.
It was great because I remember being in Puerto Rico and everything's locked down and I'm like, this is awful. And I go on my phone and I go on Instagram for a second. Oh, Brian's got a story, and I click it and you're getting hammered at a bar with like 20 people in Tokyo.
It's pretty gnarly.
I was like, Japan is not
it's pretty cool.
They exempt? Like, what is going on? This is amazing.
Yeah. And like everyone over there is already respectful and they wear masks anyways. So,
their mask game is strong.
The mask game. Yeah. There's no like, I'm not wearing my mask. It's just like a thing they do. If like my girl was telling me, oh, whenever they want to wear makeup, I just wear my mask. So it's just like some of you do. It's like a fashion trend. I don't fucking know. Anyways.
And I remember when I was there and
they're just respectful to others.
I don't know if it was 18 or 19 when we were there. Yeah. But we went to Harajuku Street, I think it was called.
Which one? The one that?
That's Shibuya Crossing.
Yeah.
Harajuku was... it was like very anime basically and the crossing, but like all the young people there that I saw, the majority were wearing the baggiest clothing, jeans, like massively baggy clothing, double XL sweatshirts. It was
different. That trend, but it's like, it goes through Paris, London, Japan, New York. And like, we get like the beach, we get like California gets like bits and pieces of fashion, right? And you can tell every time you go to like LA, dude, it's so weird.
What the way?
Oh, dude, some of the outfits you see? Yeah. I mean, we're in a beach town, Orange County, for example. That we're not really conscious of fashion. You can tell, but just walking around. Well, I think here it's just more designer, right? It's just, there's so much money in Newport, Orange County. It's pretty insane. And I think a lot of people don't care because they're already rich. Like, I think here. Most men, I'm sort of like sidetracked, but most men here are older, rich, and just want hot wives. It's just, or girlfriends. Well,
you think that's exclusive to Orange County?
Yeah, for sure.
You don't think that's happening with other men?
In other places? Nah, I mean, I'm sure there is, but you just see it a lot here. Orange County is the spot, dude.
No, I feel like a bet or a challenge. Like, we should go out to the most random... let's go to Topeka, Kansas.
Nope.
And let's survey 100 men and we'll ask them, do you want to be rich and have a hot wife?
Hey, no disrespect to Kansas.
What percent you think is going to say yes?
I'm not wasting a plane ticket to go to Kansas.
Henry, what percent would you guess is going to say yes? We're going to take a room poll. Be honest. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's fine.
Yeah.
You think just 10 to 15? What do you think? If I was like, would you want to be rich and have a hot wife? What percent of guys would say, yeah, I want that?
Oh, wait. What the? What am I?
75?
Dude, what am I talking about? Miami, bro.
Why are we hating on Kansas so hard, Henry?
Dude,
Kansas
Miami. Due to you. No. Anyways, Miami. Miami is the spot, right? Miami is the place where all this happens.
Before Miami. You change the subject.
Yeah.
I think 80 to 90% is probably accurate. Kansas is
probably 100%. What? Have you seen the girls in
Be
Kansas?
Be rich and have a hot wife? Have you?
Yeah.
When'd you go?
I know, on TV, bro. Hold on. I'm a Raiders fan in Kansas City. I was actually, hold on, side note. I was in Kansas City, Missouri, which is not Kansas. That's why I don't even know.
This thing.
Yeah, I'm down.
Not yet, but. I'm just.
Hey, look, there's probably hot girls in Kansas. I'm sorry. And I'm sure there's old dudes in there that want to date hot girls.
It's everywhere. What my point.
Yeah, I think.
Is that so? Firsthand knowledge versus secondhand knowledge. Secondhand knowledge. I saw it on TV. My friend told me I saw it on social media. Uh-huh. Firsthand knowledge. I saw it.
Have you been to Kansas?
I've never been to Kansas. That's why I have no. I can't say yes or no about what. That's why I'm just saying.
Correct.
I think this is what would happen, but I don't know.
Correct.
But too many people nowadays, they get all their information secondhand and they treat it with certainty, which you can't do. There is so much more I could rant and rave. Like before we started this, you were like, are there certain things I shouldn't say? I don't want to offend anybody.
Of course,
people don't want to be offensive, right? We live in the victim culture, mm-hmm. right? The reality is I cannot offend you. Only you can offend yourself. If I could make you feel something, I would be the richest man in the world. I could hold up a sign to everyone. I could say, feel this. And you'd all pay me to feel, because I'd be like, joy, boom. And you'd be happy. And I'd be like, passionate, boom. And so I would be the richest man in the world. So I can't control. What happens is, this is how the brain works. I might be the catalyst. I may say something, right? And then you have a thought about what I say, and that thought creates a feeling.
But let's go back, right? You're the reason why I said that, and I think you and I both know, or maybe I know, is because we're putting ourselves on a platform that does care, right? So it's like, we can say what we say, and someone in Instagram or whoever we're putting this is going to be like, not good enough for me, ban. Or not, probably not ban, just they take the post down. And it's just like, these are issues that are dealt with a lot of people that do podcasts, right? It's just like, how do we not get shut down?
I get the business side of it, but I want to go to the first principles. Uh-huh. And the first principle is that I can't make you feel anything and you can't make me feel anything.
Yeah, I'm probably thinking about others.
Thoughts create feelings. That's where our feelings come from. Uh-huh. But your thought can't give me a feeling. Your thought gives you a feeling. My thought gives me a feeling.
Correct.
So if we're training the culture to think I can offend you and you can offend me, right? Then we're training them to be victims, because they go, I don't like this video. What this person said offended me, right? I feel offended. You're saying I have no control over my emotions.
Yeah.
Someone on a screen is controlling how I feel. Mm-hmm. If you believe that, you have no chance at succeeding in life. You are fucked. Zero chance of being happy, of being in good relationships, because you'll be in a relationship with someone and you won't feel good and you'll be like, they made me feel bad. No, you made you feel bad.
And I guess the people that can offend you easily and influence you, right, by saying what they feel, are usually our leaders, right? So it doesn't matter. So the ones we listen to, like, for example, Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. He just creates, he's the best at making people talk about him by the things he says, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, Proud Boy, stand down. What does that mean, right? You're like, does that mean he wants them to stop doing what they do? Or does it mean that, is he having their back? It's just like things like that you think, and you're like, damn, this guy is just so good at like making you feel a certain way.
But why does it matter?
I don't know. It's politics. I don't know.
Here's how I know if our first show is successful.
Yeah.
Bryant walks away and he goes, I'm not going to listen to politics anymore.
Yeah.
That I would be very happy if that was the outcome of the show. Because let me ask you this. You care about money, right?
Of course.
Do you want to make more money?
Yeah. That's why when I woke up today. I'm like, did Gavin Newsom win? You know, like,
well, right. So correct. You want to make more money?
Uh huh.
How much money has politics made you?
Oh, fuck, man. I mean, you can go to LA. It must be a lot because the city of LA looks
how
like shit.
How much income has politics added to Brian's income?
God, I don't know. I don't know. Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, yeah.
And you wake up, and instead of thinking about how am I going to get ahead today, you woke up thinking about Gavin fucking Newsom.
I did, man. I did. It was crazy. I'm like,
you think he wakes up thinking about you?
Of course. Who doesn't? No, of course not. No, he just wants to stay in office, of course, because he doesn't want to be known for the guy that got recalled, for sure.
I want you to wake up and be like, I got this shit I'm getting done today.
Yeah,
100%. Not Gavin fucking Newsom.
Yeah, you know, I did follow his election, his recall election. I'm not even going to lie. I was like...
You were in it.
Dude, I was like, I can't have this guy continue to be our governor. Fuck no.
He did get reelected, right?
He did, yeah. 67%.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, he's San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, tech, Google, Facebook, YouTube, Netflix, money.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of money. It's hard.
And then again, like I was talking about LA, like, oh man, why does the city look so shitty? It's like his fault, but it's not really. It's like, obviously he's overseeing it, but it's the mayor, right? So it doesn't even matter. Like, if he gets reelected or not, we still got to deal with it with the mayor of LA.
Right.
Maybe he should go out first. Like, I don't know, but
I tend to think of all, not politics, just all organizations, mm-hmm. as top down. So whoever the leader is and how they're acting, that's going to rub off on the next person, and they're going to act in a similar, it's just going to keep trickling down in that way.
Correct.
So that might have something to do with it. I don't know. I generally think that I'm not some conspiracy theorist where I think there's like a group of people who are trying to control the world.
Yeah.
Although I think that is true. but it does feel like there's a push to ruin America.
Yes.
I feel that and I see that, and I don't have a lot of faith in the future of America.
Hey, I was going to ask you something. Do you still have your Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Why?
No, I still have it.
You want to know what happened with the Bitcoin?
Yeah.
So, this was
all this talk about politics. I'm just like, damn. If we need an exit plan, probably like this cryptocurrency. That's not.
Nah.
You never know.
Well, first of all, I think the term cryptocurrency is a misnomer. It should be called crypto asset, because it's. I know. What's the country that made it legal tender?
El Salvador.
Right. Yeah. So they made it a currency, but generally I think it's going to be an asset, not a currency. The reason I say that, because if it's a currency, then it's kind of a threat to World Bank, Federal Reserve, and that kind of thing. And it won't work that way.
Except for in El Salvador.
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
So here's how I basically lost like 80 grand in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
This was, when did it start mooning?
Dude,
like,
I don't remember.
The first time, was it like May, April, March, early this year? Yeah, early
like,
this
like
year.
Mooning again. The second, third, fourth moon.
March last year
of 2021. No, because that's
It was during COVID. It was during COVID. Mm-hmm. It was like blowing up during COVID.
I'm talking about when it hit like the all time high. I think it was like 62 or something.
Yeah,
it was earlier this year. So yeah, it was earlier this year, and I saw it going up, and I had some from 17, and I was like, oh, let me get back into this, right?
Yeah.
This is interesting. So I had a Trezor wallet, which I had stored it on.
Uh-huh.
You know what those are?
The Trezors?
The external wallets.
They're like USBs or whatever?
Kind of, yeah. But you need your passcode or your recovery seed to get into it.
Correct.
And if you don't have it, you're fucked, right? Remember there was that story about that dude who had...
Yeah, he had a bunch, and then he couldn't find his passcode, and I guess there's money just that he can't get into.
He's like two more tries. And if he gets it wrong.
If he gets it wrong, that money's gone. Correct.
Correct. So I had that on mine. And I thought I had like 25 grand worth of Bitcoin on it. That's what I thought. So I had like two tries left and I didn't want to fuck with it. So I called my friend Fran, who's like really into this.
Yeah.
Came over and we were onto the I have the recovery seed.
Mm-hmm.
24 words. I'm like, okay, good. We can get back in. So we go through all 24, we hit enter, and it goes wrong.
Oh shit.
And I'm like, what the fuck? So we're like, all right, we gotta really be careful. So like we're going through the words, that we type anything wrong, whatever. And there's one word, 23rd word was prop, P-R-O-P.
Uh-huh.
And Fran's like, that word seems weird to me. Could it be any other word? I was like, I don't think so. It says P-R-O-P, like clearly a P. He was like, what if it's drop? I was like, there's no way. Yeah. He's like, can we try it? I was like, all right, boom, boom, boom. All right, let's type drop, drop, 24th, enter. We're in. And yeah, it fucking unlocked. And I was so happy. And then it starts auto-populating how much Bitcoin you have. I had almost 4 Bitcoin sitting on there. So it was more like 200 grand of Bitcoin that I would have lost had we not been able to get in.
Yeah, I wish I just forgot about it. And anyways.
Did you sell yours?
Of course, dude. Dude, during the pandemic, I'm like, oh, I guess we're going to shit. I just didn't know what was going to happen. I was just like, whatever. I'll get this money back.
Can you call me next time?
I don't know.
Let's just make a promise to each other as friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime Brian's about to sell any crypto, he'll text Jason first.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you can do whatever the fuck you want. I would just like to walk you off a ledge next time.
Dude, another thing, like the mortgage, like I got into the mortgage industry again. I was in it like 2016 doing God knows what. I was just not mentally all there. So I quit. Right. And I just kept doing the club thing. And I got back into it, I think 2020 or 2019. And you know, I was like, all right, I'm turning 30. I'm just going to devote my life to this. Now, you know, most of my time to this,
what?
To like making, originating loans. Got so it. I was just like, I'm just going to do this. And then pandemic happened and I was kind of like, shit, what's going to happen? Right. I was furloughed for a good month. And then my boss is like, we're back, baby. And dude, I swear to God, from like, I was furloughed from December to January. Or December, January, March. And as soon as I got back from Japan, I went back to work and it was just, the business was booming. It was probably the most money I've ever made in my life, right? And it sucked because, like, this is me thinking about other people again, right? But I had to, like, I did a lot more things than I posted, right? Because I was trying to keep it secret because I was just, like, rolling in cash, right? And I was just like, whoa. And I did the dumb thing when you get a lot of money, I just start buying things, right? But I started buying things, I started traveling.
You went to Tulum.
I did. I went to Tulum like 5 times.
You follow the Instagram influencer playbook. Before let me buy some Louis Vuitton and let me go to Tulum.
I had so much fun in Tulum. It was awesome. I don't know. It was great. I had a good time. Yeah, I went to Tulum a bunch of times. Cabo, Mexico was open, by the way. So, you know. Side note, but
so you've been working though at a nightclub.
Yeah.
I mean, you started in Orlando in like what, 12?
Yeah, around 12. And then 11.
11.
Yeah,
so this is your 10-year anniversary.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is working at a nightclub for a dude addictive?
Dude, it depends on what you, if you're like, so I started as a busser, right? I was busing tables in the night industry and nightclub industry. And it's kind of, you don't really have power. So that's like the bottom of the totem pole. But me being talkative and like, you know, friendly, it was like an easy way to get girls. It was like the easiest. Cause like usually the guys will black out and then I'm over here, the innocent guy cleaning the tables, trying to help the chick out. And she's like,
hey, man, can I clean that?
Yeah, plate? Yeah, dude. It was like, it was so easy. So like getting chicks was like, that was like the main thing for me, right? It's just like getting laid for the longest.
That's what I mean in addictive, especially if you're a single guy.
Depends on what you want to do with it. For me, it's shifted from like, everyone always asks me this and it's so annoying. It's like, damn, like, are you like, you see these girls half naked all the time? Like they're talking about the bottle girls. Like, damn, don't you just like, aren't you in awe? I'm like, yeah, in the beginning I was, but now they're just you don't see that, like them changing in front of you and all this stuff and them wearing what they wear. You know, they obviously they're beautiful girls, but you hang out with them and they become your employees. You just like, trust me, like some of the hottest ones you'll dislike real quick because of their attitudes. And some of the hottest ones are like the nicest girls ever. They just have this like they have this like shield because dudes can't control themselves. Mm-hmm. So like, dude, I'm serious. Yeah,
that you have to
some
have
of them
a,
are cool as hell.
A wall. Of course, because you've spent basically your whole life since you were 13 or 14.
Yeah.
99% of the guys who talk to you just want something from you.
100%.
Which is sex. So it's hard and it makes sense. I think it's interesting guys ask you like, oh, the girl's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, aren't you? That, you know, I mean, I'm a former dating coach.
Uh-huh.
That makes me sick.
Like, yeah.
To put another human on such a pedestal because you think of yourself as so low.
Correct.
That makes me sad.
And it's crazy because this is funny because I remember back then, dude's asleep.
when you were doing your dating coach thing, you would have your seminars, right? And you remember what it would happen after, like on a Friday, Saturday, they would come to me. So I'd see all these little Jason Capitals coming to the club. And you know, I would see them because I would go to these seminars, say hi, and they would come in and I would see how they would interact. And a lot of times, a lot of the guys would just like follow, like play it cool, talk. By the way, it's like extremely difficult to talk to a girl at a club with no table because it's extremely, it's loud. It's not a bar. It's a club. Girls are there to like have a good time, look good, but then they also want to sit. If you don't have a table, good luck. But I mean, if you can manage without one, then whatever. But anyways, they would go in there, try to talk to all these girls, no table, it's loud. It's like the worst environment to go to and try to pick up chicks.
If you're good and you're skilled and you have game, it can be done.
Yeah.
I didn't have tables the first 4 years I was going out or something like that.
Yeah.
The secret would be like, if you're talking to a girl at the bar or in GA, is you go us versus them. You go, look at all these fucking dudes at a table. The only way they get girls is spending $2,000 on fucking overpriced alcohol.
And then
you go, let's play a game. I bet that you can't get me a drink from three of those tables.
Correct.
You know, in the next hour, let's try that. And like, you turn into a game and it becomes something fun.
Yeah.
That to me would be like the only way that I think you can make that happen.
Yeah. But then again, I don't know. So like I said, they would come in and I would see the dudes. It's just extremely difficult. But going back to like what the girls were saying, what I was saying about the guys telling me, like, how do you feel about working with these girls that are extremely hot, right? The ones that you see on Instagram, by the way, that you just wish you can like talk to in person. I'm going to tell you one thing. They're most of them are pretty cool if you treat them like humans. But if you're like, they're going to take advantage of you if you like think of them as gods, pretty much. And a lot of guys do that. I don't understand why. They'll see a pretty girl and they just can't control themselves.
What's worse about it to me is that you're using a failing strategy. That it doesn't work. Like if you imagine someone comes up to you and they want to do you any favor and they just want to be super nice to you and they're like, what do you need? I'll get this. You don't feel attraction, you feel powerful.
Correct.
And you're like, oh, I can make you do this. But there's no attraction being created there. So
yeah,
I know why they do it. We don't need to get into it. It's childhood. Childhood stuff. But I have another question for you.
Yeah.
I want to talk about marijuana, cannabis.
Uh-huh.
How old were you the first time you smoked weed?
Dude, so I, let me see. I tried it one time when I was in like eighth grade out of an apple. We like skipped school and yeah. Anyways.
13 with an apple.
Yeah. I honestly didn't like how it made me feel.
Okay.
Cause I was like highly energetic and I played sports and it just wasn't working for me. Right. So, I didn't really touch it. Until I did it once or two times, maybe three times in high school, but then I wrestled and I played football. So I had so many things going on during the day. And it's just like, I drank a ton, but I wouldn't say I drank enough. But anyways, I was doing so many things for sports that I was just like, all right, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I hit college, and also I was from Florida, right? So like I was in the number one drug. I think the number one drug in Florida was Coke, but that being said, I hit college and I started losing interest in just the school in general. It's just like became like a job. As soon as you like leave high school, you're like, oh, I started working. I was like, this isn't making me money and I don't want to be here. So I probably did 2 years in school. And then that's when I started really smoking. And then when I got to California, it was game on. Like, this is the best weed ever. But yeah, side note.
What's your relationship with weed now?
Oh, I definitely can't really do it during the day. If I did, it just like affect me, you know, because I got too many responsibilities. But I love smoking at night before I go to bed. There's just too many things in my industry, or maybe just in general, that I think of, and it just I get so much anxiety that when I smoke, it just makes me feel good, and it makes me forget in a way that it puts things into perspective. I'm like, I can deal with it in the morning. Now, the worst, sometimes I'll smoke like a joint, like maybe like 5 p.m. and I still got shit to do. And I still feel the same way. I can deal with it in the morning. So I've learned.
You know, what's funny is, I don't know, this was like maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
Natalie commented to me. She was like, you know, like the first like 5 years, every time you saw Bryant, he was high. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, every time. Not in a bad way. And Natalie's right there. But she was like, he was high. Like, every time. Dude,
but what responsibilities did I have that were not? My only responsibilities was making it to work on the weekend. And like I said in the beginning, this is like second nature, the whole club thing, right? So it's just like, I can do it in my sleep, basically.
I get it.
You know?
I get it. But we don't want to, like, I'm not going to say we. I don't want to be in a place where I'm not being challenged. You know, where I'm going through the motions and it's so easy for me that I can be on drugs and still do it just fine.
Yeah.
So speaking of, so this is called a napalm lift ticket. And I should be sponsored by napalm, so you guys can hit me up and I will do it, maybe, because I like your joints. So this is, it comes like a napalm, like a grenade.
Correct.
And this is the,
actually. It smells great, actually.
So you take this off. And this right here, this is a seven, so it's got 7 grams of flour and then 1 gram of, what did it say? Live resin. So we got an 8 gram one hitter. So you got to take it all in one hit. I've had one of these before. Zach.
Yeah, you told me. You told me you got one in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and it was kind of amazing. And so, like, my relationship with weed is I smoke at night before bed. It helps me sleep. It's great. I like to think of myself as more of a connoisseur than a pothead. I was a pothead for a long time.
Yeah.
But every time I go become a pothead, my income goes down. They are like directly related. But if I control it, then it goes up. That's what I noticed.
We did have a stink. I think it was like in your mid-20s when I met you, right? Where we went out a lot. We went to clubs, went to Vegas so many times. It was insane. I know. Yeah.
I remember is we went to Vegas one weekend and we did it. We took a jet and we went limo, so jet, funny. Limo.
Yeah.
So we got picked up in a limo and then we went on a jet. And then from the hangar, they picked us up in a limo and they took us straight to the penthouse.
Yeah.
And I just remember getting in that second limo, me and you, and you were like, I feel so good right now. I was like, me too. And you were like, limo, jet, limo. Like, that's the move.
Was that? That was when you would get the three-story thing in Cosmo. The suite in Cosmo. Remember the three-story one?
Yes. The bungalows there. Those are good.
What was I going to say?
I have videos of... I don't even say that.
I don't know. We had a good time. I have videos. I think what... You remember? I want to ask you because like we went out so many times. You, your brother also joined a couple times.
Hello, Jordan.
And then you went to that seminar in like Scotland, right?
Yes.
That's what kind of because then we stopped talking for a little bit after Scotland. I think you did just we? Like yeah. You came back and you're like yeah, this isn't for me.
Interesting.
So it was like you evolved basically.
Yeah, I went to Dan Pena's in 2016, and that was a big week for me. A lot of shit changed. And I came back and I got a lot of clarity. He pushed so hard this idea of show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Correct. And how important your environment is and the people you keep around. And he wants, like, if this is, I have no boundaries and whoever wants to hang out with me can hang out with me. And on this end, I'm the most ruthless person in the world. He wants you to be as close to this side as possible when it comes to who you allow in your environment, who you don't. So he pushed me a lot in that direction. But at the same time, like deep down, I knew I needed to make a shift anyways. And that's why I went, because I needed that kick in the ass. I couldn't pull myself up. I couldn't do it anymore. I needed someone to kick me hard.
I don't know what my shift, because I still go out. I think as you get, I'm 31 now, as you get older, at least for me, because there's a lot of guys that I still see going to the club. The same guys I saw when they were like 27 and are now 38, I'm 31, 32, 33, still going out every day. You know, it takes a lot to get away from that. And I don't know what it was for me, but I think it was just, I think it's my friends. I see my friends succeeding. I want to succeed too, right? Mm-hmm. So it is like the company you keep, right? Mm-hmm. There's also kids. There's also some friends that I used to party with that I don't see anymore. And, it is what it is.
Do you think that people who they were friends with in high school, they are obligated to remain friends with those people for the rest of their lives?
See, the thing about me, I was born in California, then I moved to Florida, and then I came back in my mid-20s. So it was easier for me to just forget the guys that I grew up with in Florida, right? Because like my teens, that's when you build relationships. So I would think. So those guys, I still see some of them, but yeah, it was easy for me to just like let go, cut it off, and like move on. But I do go back to Florida. I was just there in Orlando last week, and I was with my boy, like Robbie, which is a boxer, which he's evolved a lot too. He and I, when we meet, for some reason, we just like go balls deep, and we just
balls deep.
Pause. Anyways, when he and I meet, it's just like I won't see him for like a year, and I see him, and it's just like I haven't seen him like in a day or two, right?
Totally.
It's that feeling you get, and we just get completely trashed and hammered, and we just talk about like the past, and then I don't see him again for a while. But that being said, he's grown a lot as a person, and I'm glad that he's my friend. But there's a lot of other guys that I used to hang out with religiously that we don't see eye to eye. I don't know. It's tough. I'm like over here, they're over there, and it's like, dude, like grow up, man. Like it's time. Like, how do you want it? Like to me, it's important to make money because I like nice things, right? And I'm just my thoughts are way different. They're still thinking about pussy and like just like the next girl. And I'm over here thinking about like buying a property, you know, like just completely different patterns of thoughts. And when I went to my 10-year high school reunion, it like opened up my eyes because like a lot of them gain weight, a lot of them have kids, and
of course you went
they're married,
of
and
of course you went, to
and
that.
I was like, "Fuck, I'm so glad I got out of this shithole."
You, the minute you got that invitation, you were like, "I'm fucking going."
I'm going. I look good. I had money in my pocket,
yeah,
for sure. It actually motivated me. To them, they were like, and the biggest thing is, dude, they all watch Instagrams.
What color was your suit?
No, I didn't even wear a suit, dude. I had a nice Gucci shirt on.
Big logo.
My Balenciaga. No, you know, I'm not a logo guy, but it was just a nice shirt. My Balenciagas, but like they like all watch my stories, so they I think they all thought I was a drug dealer or something. Just like, and they would see me like when we did go on the private jets and like all the parties and everything. So they think I'm just living this like crazy lifestyle, but I'm just living the life that I want to live.
I think that a lot of people feel, and I've gotten a lot of questions about this over the years, just an obligation to stay in touch with the people that they were friends with in high school or in college. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't want to anymore, they feel like they have to. And the reality is you don't have to do anything, and you don't owe anyone anything.
Yeah.
This is like each of us has our own reality where we get to make our own decisions about what we want to do, what we don't do, what we do like, what we don't like. And that's okay. So like, I just don't think there's an obligation to do that kind of thing. And it's different now.
Yeah.
Because when we were, for instance, when our parents finished high school and they go to college and they finish college and they start working, there was no Facebook.
No, there was no Facebook.
Like, you didn't see or hear about those people anymore.
No text messaging.
And like Gary Vee makes a really good point that for most people our age, you know, the 5,000 friend limit on Facebook, like the first couple thousand friends.
There's 5,000. Oh, there is.
The first couple thousand friends were from high school for most people. And it's not like you go back and you're like, well, I don't see them anymore. They're still in your inner, your social world. They're in Cloudlandia in your brain because you see them in your feed. And it's like you're still seeing them when you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You're living out your past because you haven't unfollowed and unfriended.
I think the thing for me is like I don't really go on Facebook much anymore. So I don't even have the Messenger app. But then we started using Facebook for my night job, right? Because we used the Facebook group. So I went on and I looked at my messages that I haven't read in like years. And I'll see some dudes I never even talked to in high school that follow me that I friend requested. Maybe I'm in the past. So they friend requested me and I accepted them. They're like, I love your lifestyle. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, what are you about? Can I come and visit you? And I'm like, what the fuck? The people that you thought that would never followed you and shit, they're like,
they're still watching.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Well, I call it the arena kind of metaphor where like there's 99% of people in the stands and there's 1% of people in the arena actually like doing things and risking their lives or taking risks. And you get to choose. You want to be in the stands? You want to be, and there's pros and cons to both. You're not better if you're in the arena and you're not in the stands. No one's better. It's just different. Do you want to be Russell Crowe or do you want to be Joaquin Phoenix?
Dude, I saw a movie with Russell Crowe though. He was like fat. It's like,
is it where he chased the children?
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with that? Wait, we chased the children.
He chased children for like 2 hours.
The road rage. That's the one, bro.
He goes into the meeting. He's like, all right, so what's the movie about? She's like, you're going to chase children for hours. He's like,
hey, talking about actors,
talking about actors, Robert De Niro is like my favorite actor, and it pains me. Aside from what's that one movie it pains me to see him. Like, there was this movie I saw. He was like a super villain, and he was wearing like a leotard or something. It just pains me to see like the guys that were playing that were in like these like in these
casino,
yeah, all these great movies. So I'm like getting contact high. It pains me to see them do these roles for money, man. It's hard
right now. Yeah, get it going.
Damn, this is massive.
That's what she said.
Look, I know I said that in the beginning. I don't really smoke during the day, but
it's
today nighttime. Is different
when someone's watching this.
Yeah,
there.
We're
listen. What this is this we're testing it out. We're sampling it.
I'm just gonna do it like a cigar.
Like a cigar, yeah. There you go.
Like Monica Lewinsky over here.
It comes full circle. Well done. There you go. Are you getting any?
Oh, shit.
Here you go.
COVID. Oh, man. Dude, today was crazy. Like I said. How do you deal with stress, dude? Because I don't see you as stressed out. I think you're just the way you deal with stress is you can kind of control your day because you schedule shit from what you always told me. Mm-hmm. But with me, right, in my industry, and I'm sure in yours, but in my industry, there's so many things that happen. There's so many things that you can't control that happen, like dogs are late because some other lady in escrow like did something. It's just like things you can't control. Those are the things that make me the most. Because like I'm trying to close on time, right? Mm-hmm. But I can't control if this other woman is doing her job, and that's what makes me the most.
Do you set expectations for people that aren't possible? Like, yeah, do you tell them what they want to hear as opposed to what's really going to happen?
No, I say like we have like. Closing. You purchase
on. I'm saying like if I'm working with financing.
I've done it before. Yes.
Right, and I'm like, how soon it'll be done? And you're
100%,
like
100%. I've said 20 to 15 days.
When you know that's not possible.
Sometimes you're just trying to get the sale because sometimes you're trying to build a relationship because they come and say, oh, this lender closed in 20 days. I mean, this lender took 20 days to close. And in my head, I'm like, shit, that's a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. But you're like, oh, 20 days. I'll do it in 18. You know, just to try to get the deal because it's like $1 million.
Yeah. So it kind of sounds like if that's what's happening, I don't think that's the only thing. But if that is what's happening,
it's more than that.
But in terms of that as a small thing, yeah. It's like in the online fitness world, right? Like fitness marketers. In the last like 5 or 10 years, all they've done with each other is lower each other's prices. So you're selling it for 97, I'm going to sell it for 77. I'm going to sell it for 47. I'm going to sell it for 9. They keep price eroding each other. And it's a race to the bottom and you can't win in that game. So like if I was coaching a fitness marketer, I would say you cannot compete on price. You have to differentiate yourself and find your value in a different way.
Correct.
And you need to create a category of one in that way. So instead of competing on time, you would need to find a different value prop that they would appreciate more. Like what else is more important to them than time? Is it trust? Is it reliability? Hey, I don't know if I'll get you done in 20 days. Cause like someone, I would say this, if someone like, that's awesome. They got it for you in 20 days. It's also really risky. Cause when you go that fast, there's a lot of boxes that could be left unchecked.
Too many things.
And that scares me. That scares me.
In our industry.
More important to me, how fast it goes is that I get it done for you. Right. You get the money when you need it. But more importantly, you and your family are safe.
In my industry, if you mess up with one thing, it can delay you for weeks. So you're right. I think you bring up a good point. I should just be more transparent, and it's gonna solve a lot of issues for sure.
And it won't stress you out as much.
But then it goes back to me thinking about other people and thinking that if I'm too transparent, they might stress out because I'm telling them too much. So I'm just gonna focus on just being transparent, not caring what how they feel, and just going about it that way. I think it might work. But
transparency will help. It will help you with the stress a lot. The other thing I do is I try, and I'm working on it, but I try to have clear boundaries about when I'm working and when I'm not working. Because if I start like getting messages or pings in my not working time and I look at my phone, that's going to stress me out.
I notice your phone goes green, dude. And you don't have an Android, so I know what you're doing.
Airplane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think if you you need to set clear boundaries for yourself and dude, say, I won't.
It gives me anxiety knowing that I know a document's but coming.
No. We're gonna break this down. So yeah. if you, I'll put it in there.
I'm a workaholic too. So that probably sucks.
So if you,
I just gotta be more efficient, I guess.
Well, if you, so you go, if I turn off my phone,
yeah,
that gives me anxiety and it stresses me out. That's what you just said.
Uh-huh, it does.
But
sure.
If you don't turn off your phone and you're looking at it working late, that gives you stress and anxiety.
Yeah, this is always stress, I guess. Sucks.
What's going on here?
I know. So the best way to go about it is just to tell yourself,
No, I didn't say that.
Well, I would think, yesterday I was at work till like 7:30 and my girl was making me dinner and she was like, where are you at? I was stressing out because I still had work. And this one guy that works in the office, older guy, divorced, he's like, he overheard my conversation and stopped me and's like, Brian, do you really want to be like me? 56 years old, divorced.
Like a movie.
I swear to God. He's like, divorced, alcoholic. He drinks a lot. And you know, like, just look at me. I'm like, yeah, no. He's like, go home, buddy. Go home. So I was like, all right, yeah. And dude, you know what I did? Put my phone on airplane mode, went home, talked to my girl. We laughed. We smoked. It was great. We watched like two movies and I passed out. It was like the best thing. Best thing ever until I woke up this morning. Nice. I woke up this morning with more anxiety because I was like, damn, what did I miss yesterday? You know?
Well, what if you instead you'd ask yourself, what did I get yesterday? I got quality time with someone I care about.
Yeah.
That's what I got. Because you're doing all this work so that you have more free time to spend with the people you care about, and you already got to spend time with people you care about.
Correct.
Yeah. Also, you woke up stressed because you were thinking about Gavin fucking Newsom instead of Bryant.
Honestly, like, I didn't even know what was going to happen if he did win. Like, my day is still the same. Like, I just did not. I hate dude, the fact. Dude, I just don't like the dude.
If he got caught eating a live chicken's head, it wouldn't affect your life
at all.
No,
he got caught eating at the French Laundry during COVID when we were supposed to be shut down and all my favorite restaurants were shut down. So I was eating Postmates. That's why I was mad. I was like, dude, this guy can't even follow his own agenda. Like preach.
So something interesting I learned about the, and I don't know him, but I was told this and I was like, there's no way that's true. So I Googled it and it was true. When he was mayor of San Francisco, his best friend was like his campaign manager or his attorney. It was one of those things. They worked closely together. And his best friend's wife also worked in the campaign. And he was sleeping with his best friend's
wife. He banged his wife.
For like a year and a half.
And then he had to go to like this sex therapy.
I don't care about therapy. I care about the fact that like.
So what does that tell you, dude?
What kind of person sleeps with their best friend's wife?
Exactly.
You're a shitty person.
See, but let me tell you this.
In that moment, you can change. You can be better. But in that moment, you're a bad fucking friend.
So you only looked this up because you wanted to know who your governor was or because your friend told you? You said your friend told you, right?
Someone told me. I was like, there's no way he got elected.
But then that thought in your head, which happens to me a lot, someone tells me something, you can tell me something right now, and I'll probably remember when I'm not high. I'm like, huh, is that true? I'll look it up. This happens to me too many times.
But here's the other issue.
That's actually
now,
very
now
interesting.
Now you go look it up.
100%. I have to fact check it.
But you don't even know if the fact check's real. Fact check, just replace the word fact check with censor, because that's all that's happening. It's just information. No, it's not even could. I'm not saying true or false.
Uh-huh.
They are physically censoring information.
Yeah.
It just fact check is just another way to put it. Like misinformation is another term. There's no such thing as misinformation. There's just information you don't agree with. And like, but they create all these new terms to try and confuse people. And if you're listening, just stop playing, like, just assume, like you got to look past what's really happening and look how they use language to mindfuck you because what we call things makes a big difference. Like if I say to you, hey, I got a new home. Mm-hmm. Would you like to check it out? Maybe buy it. You feel one way. But if I say to you, hey, there's a new cottage. Would you like to check it out? You have two totally different images in your mind, home versus cottage.
Correct.
They could be the exact same thing. So you got to look very closely at the words people use to describe things because that's how they're mind fucking you.
So you're saying he banged his friend's wife.
That's what I read.
Okay.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't
with the iPhone record. Like I was, that's what I've been told by multiple sources.
See, that's pretty grimy, bro. Let's not talk politics, but that is grimy for sure.
That's pretty grimy, right? Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about cold water?
I fucking hate it.
Like a cold tub?
Dude, the first thing I do when I jump in the shower is turn, well, before I jump, well,
before I jump in the shower, right?
Where is this going?
Before I jump in the shower, I put the hot water, then I brush when I wake up, then I brush my teeth, waiting for the water to get hot, and then I jump in. That's how much I hate hot water. Cold water, sorry.
No shit.
Yeah, I hate it.
Have you ever done a cold tub?
No, but no, I haven't. No. I was trying to think if we did it in football, but it was too hot and shit melted pretty quickly. But no, never.
Would you ever do it?
Dude, I just don't like cold water, man. It's not, I mean, I heard it makes you feel good. I did the cryotherapy though. That was cool.
Did you think that was cold?
It was different. It was a different feeling because it wasn't, you're actually wearing like the mitts and you're jumping into something. You already know it's going to be cold because it's like mist. Mm-hmm. But the water for me, I just, the feeling of cold after, because you can't like immediately just get warm right away. You got to like wipe the shit off, you know? So it's just different.
I'm super curious.
I hate it.
If you thought cryotherapy or a cold tub was colder. Like, I think the people would really appreciate it if you had firsthand knowledge of that and could tell them.
I don't know how a cold tub feels, but I know cryotherapy. I felt like it was almost like it was so cold. It felt like it was piercing, like kind of like it was so cold. It felt hot. If yeah. That's the case. Yeah. Is that weird? Is that like,
no, that's how it felt for me.
Yeah.
So I think we should go in the cold tub. I think we should do it on camera. Dude. I think we should film it.
I can't do it. We'll do it one day. I think it's probably going to be the best thing to get unhigh and sober is to probably go in a cold tub. But I also feel like it sucks.
I think we should just do it.
And it's getting colder outside. Did you notice?
No, I think we should just do it. And you can keep trying to change the subject, but I think we should just do it. Jump in for like a second, and if you don't like it, you could jump out.
I'll think about it.
I know the amount of views this would get, and Dan wants views.
But think about this. What's it called? You don't like the cold because you don't like living in cold places.
Right. But I like, here's why I like cold tubs.
Yeah.
The logical reason of it lowers inflammation. It's really good for your immune system. It's like one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself. But from an emotional reason, I like knowing that I can not want to do something and fucking do it.
But
that right there to me is such a valuable thing. And the thing is, if I don't have experiences like that on a daily, but like do something that's really fucking hard every day, I get soft. So I have to like have something like that every day. And the cold tub is it's so accessible in that way.
But I think going into a sauna, which is also very hot, is also extremely, extremely difficult.
Agreed.
So it's kind of like the same thing. The sauna is, I love the heat, but I don't like it too hot, right? So when I go in there, it's like a struggle, but the feeling you get after is like the best feeling ever, right? You feel like your body is just like-
It's the second best feeling. The first after a cold tub, yeah.
You like the cold tub better than the sauna?
The feeling, you get giddy. You get so happy. And then you get all these loans and you just like-
Yeah.
And then someone processes them for you and they're just done and you get paid. It's crazy.
Do you still use the sauna?
Yeah.
You still have it, right?
It's one in the garage.
Yeah.
All right. So we can talk about the cold tub. When we're in the cold tub.
Correct.
All right. We're going to separate times though.
Yeah.
Because it's not that big. It's a one person. Dude.
Oh, wait. I was going to ask you. Are you thinking of buying anywhere other than like Puerto Rico, California?
So I have a place. I have a place under escrow in Fort Lauderdale right now that I was going to turn into a rental.
Yeah.
I have that. Natalie and I, we've been looking.
Talked about this like I saw you.
I can't. There's lawyers involved, so I can't do anything right now. I can't say anything. But now, like, we've actually been looking at Switzerland.
Switzerland.
I've been doing a lot of research on them. Yeah. They have the most rational policies that I've ever seen of like a country in terms of government and how it's laid out. It looks like it's out of Lord of the Rings. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go early next year to scope it out and stay at a couple of villages and I wouldn't live there. There's a process to like live there. I would go for 89 days a year because the visa limit is 90, but like 3 months in the summer or something like that, I think would be very cool.
But nothing more in Puerto Rico, right?
Puerto Rico.
I know. That's why. I know.
I love it there.
But how do you feel about Puerto Rico? Do you ever get bored? Is my thought because of like, actually, it's hard to get bored where he lives. To be honest, it's pretty tough.
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty dope.
It's great. I fucking love Puerto Rico.
But you know what they say about the island life, like. Some people just get over it. Like they just can't stay somewhere too relaxed for so long, right? It feels like they're isolated. Do you ever feel that way when you're in Puerto Rico?
Nah. I really don't. I've talked to people who feel that way.
Yeah.
And I can understand. I understand it.
Yeah.
I just haven't had that issue.
And the only reason why I bring that up is when I was in Puerto Rico to go see you, and I left your house and I went to a restaurant right after, right? Like I was trying to find a bar or something. And I saw a guy that lived in Dorado and he kept buying me drinks. And I was like, yo, he was like with his wife, right? And I was like, what's up with this dude? And he was like this big back dude. And he's like, yo, what's up? And I was wearing an LA hat. So that was why he was buying me drinks. He's like, yo, you from LA? And you know, we were just talking and I asked him, like, he was like, we don't really get too many people from like outside of town in this area. I guess it's like, you know, there's a lot of homes and it's very secluded in a way. Mm-hmm. So to see someone that's down a party, like, it makes me feel good. So I was like, damn, dude, this guy just does not like being alone like me. And he's probably tired of the island life. I don't know. So
I could totally see that. If like where I live is families and like entrepreneurs and disciplined people.
Yeah.
So if someone is still in like the party phase of life, they're like, I just want to get lit Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
He was older, by the way.
You should.
So it doesn't matter. You're right.
That phase can last a lifetime. If you're just in that phase, don't live where I live. You won't like it. But if you're past that and you're like, I just want quality and I want to work hard. I want to grow my business. I want to have my good habits, develop myself, you know.
Yeah,
you're gonna be good.
Side note, I did talk to him for a while, maybe like an hour, and the whole reason why he was doing this is because of tax purposes. So he kind of felt like he was obligated to stay because of the 6 months rule, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 6 months in one day. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the major reasons. But let me tell you this, can you live in Puerto Rico but travel and not be in a, how does it work? Do you have to like be there for 6 months in a day, or can you be a resident and just travel all over the world and not necessarily be planted in one way?
But if you are there for Act 60, which is what it's called now, you have to physically be on the island for 183 days a year.
Oh, gotcha. So you can't just be like a digital nomad and just be planted there.
Half the year you could.
Damn. And the crazy thing is that you leave for six, it doesn't really feel like 6 months. That's how fast time flies, right?
Well,
it's crazy.
Months aren't real. They're just sounds that come out of our mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm there.
But the craziest thing is I started like this year, I started writing like in my calendar and actually planning things out.
Yeah.
And I think it's been the fastest year ever because I already anticipate things that are coming up and it's just been going so fast, man. It's crazy. And I think it's because I'm clearing tasks finally, right? I write things down, I clear them, and it just feels like it just goes faster and faster and faster. So taking notes for me so far and like writing them on my calendar, I'm 31 and I just started doing it now. I would do it every once in a while when I like religiously just do it, and it's the best thing ever. You know what days, you know what you have to do in certain days, and just like my days are like this. It's crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know, dude, I'm proud of you.
Thanks, dude.
You're getting shit done.
You too, bro. You're still getting your shit done. But now I don't know what it is. What clicks? To me, I think it was money, but I don't know. When you start making a certain amount, I think you're like, I don't want this to go away ever, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like,
good, man. You got something to lose now.
I hope people feel the same way too.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna we'll taste this again. And then
but I need some shorts, bro.
I am gonna go outside.
Actually, I'll just watch you.
No, and you'll do it. I'll hook you up. And we're going to record it. And here's the challenge. What if you smoke this in the cold tub on video?
Well, okay. So like,
how many people on planet Earth have?
Okay. So like how,
four,
what are the
four people who've done that?
Like,
you could be number five.
What are the benefits though?
Of which part?
Like for how long? What time frame is it beneficial for your health?
Check this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to the man with the blowtorch in his hand. Yeah. All right. I have a cold tub. And then I have a hot tub right next to it. So I'm going to put you in the cold tub for a minute.
Uh-huh.
60 seconds. And the minute you're done, you jump in the hot tub and you get hot again.
How do your balls feel? That's my main concern, to be honest.
You got like a new pillow and it felt really good.
Yeah, for sure. That. What? That made sense. I don't know why it made sense.
It did though, right?
But it does feel good.
It's comfortable and soft. Yeah.
Sometimes it's firm as fuck though. Dude, I know. You gotta keep moving them around and shit.
That's right. All right. Let's we'll take this outside. Oh, we'll put some shorts on, and we'll complete this podcast in a fucking cold tub.
All right, let's do it.
First episode in the can.
But by the way, wait, sorry, Kevin.
No, I got to do an outro. Hold on. Thank you so much for watching. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Make sure you like the video, leave a comment below, subscribe, do all of the things that you should do. What's that, Dan? Golf carts and cannabis. By the way, just so you know why it's called golf carts and cannabis, cannabis because I am a connoisseur and I enjoy it. Yeah. And I think that's informal and transparent and authentic. Yeah. And golf carts, I'm not a golfer, but I have a golf cart in Puerto Rico. And I don't own a car. I just own a golf cart. That's why we did that. Hope you enjoyed it. I love you. Brian.
Thanks. What's going on, guys?
What did they do? He said, thanks.
I don't know what else to say.
You're awesome. He said, thank you for being awesome. And we'll see you soon.
Bye. Peace. Dude, I got so high off of that thing.
You did?
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, we want to let you know that whenever you're ready, here are three ways Jason can help you grow your income from home. One, go to jcapitaltraining.com/newsletter to join Jason's private marketing newsletter, where he shares the latest and greatest ways to dominate copy, closing, and speaking, completely free. Two, if you'd like to work with Jason to get your first paid gig in the next 8 weeks, go to copycubs.com/case-study and schedule a time to chat with the team and see if it's a good fit. Three, as president and founder of the Copywriter Network, Jason connects business owners with the top copywriters trained by Jason and his team. If you need any support on increasing your conversions or getting more traffic for your business, go to copycubs.com/businessnetwork to get more details on how we can help.